Our gospel lesson comes from chapter 1 of the Gospel according to John and can be found on beginning on page 91 of the New Testament section of your pew Bibles. John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. Continuing with verses 19 through 28. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and the Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are not neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The word of God for the people of God.
Words of my mouth and meditations of my mind and my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Well, the scripture, we know the scriptures from Isaiah are ones of prophecy. We know that Jesus fulfills all of those prophecies, that Jesus came to fulfill those prophecies. There's something else that you and I, when we join a church, we say we're going to support that church with our tithes, our presence, our gifts, our service, and that last is our witness, as Charlie said. Our witness. You know, there's a song, "Can I Get a Witness? Can I Get a Witness?" Oh, goodness, crying across the ages, John the Baptist was coming to provide a witness to the light that was coming after him. He said, "I am not the light, but one who comes after me is." Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. When those people sent by the Pharisees and Sadducees talked to John, they were questioning him because things that John was doing were things like prophesying. Not Gene Dixon prophecies, okay? Not someone predicting what something is, what's going to happen in the future. Some of you don't know who Gene Dixon is, but that's okay. Someone who's out there, you know, or someone who can read tarot cards, or someone who can read a globe and come up with what is in your future, or someone who can read the lines in your palm and tell you what your love life is going to be like. John was not prophesying like that. A prophet is one who speaks the word of God. It's the word of God that comes out of him that become what happens because that's the will of God. So you're not prophesying and making a prediction. You're telling them what God has told you to tell them. That's what John the Baptist was doing. He was testifying to the light being Jesus Christ. Each and every one of us, as we provide witness, as whether we play an instrument that is a wonderful Christmas song that we've learned throughout the ages, "O Little Town of Bethlehem, any one of those, we're testifying to a part of Christ, either in our culture, in our tradition, in our history, how we've grown up, how we've been taught. These are songs that don't just sound nice and are peppy and have good words that make us feel happy and joyous because it's Christmas time. It's cold outside and we've got fireplaces and we're roasting chestnuts and we're drinking cider or not. Coffee or tea or cold water's fine. Really would have liked to have had cider. We had some great cider over at Lee and Helen's house the other night. So that's why I had my mind stuck on cider. But those are nice things in a season and in a time. But they're in our lives. But this is what John is doing. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light. This is why John came. He came as a witness to testify to the light. So that, okay, keep this in mind, he's testifying to the light for a purpose, for a reason. Two words that show up so often in our scriptures and we gloss over them or we don't understand them. It's so that. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Scriptures here, He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through Him. He Himself was not the light, but He came to testify to the light. He wasn't the light. He knew it. He knew He wasn't the light. How many people get so puffed up in their own self-importance and they think, oh, look at me, how great I am. Well, I can't tie my shoes without Terry telling. I can't put the right tie on without Terry helping me do that. Goodness gracious. And it's not about me. It's about Him. It's about His Word. His word is what John was saying. He Himself was not the light, but He came to testify to the light. The true light. The true light. We've got a lot of light in here. There's light that comes from the sun. There's light that comes from candles. There are lights that come from lights through electricity. You know, when a grandparent looks down on a grandson or a grandchild that's done a really good job, you can just see them basking in the glow of their love for that child. Those are lights, absolutely. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Jesus Christ was coming into the world for a purpose. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. There's a reason for God coming. There's a reason for this season. And it's not just the hollies. It's not the bows. It's not the great Christmas trees. And it's certainly not the presents under that tree. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask Him, "Who are you?" You know why they were asking who He was? Because they weren't listening to what He was saying. They were in fear that someone was going to come because the prophets had said there would be. There would be one coming, Isaiah, there would be one coming crying in the wilderness, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn from your wicked ways and return to God." Well, what does that do? The people that control the temple lose their power when they're no longer the people that people are seeking, that they people are now seeking Christ Jesus and God without needing the people running the temple. They would lose power. So they questioned. And He confessed, and He didn't deny it. He confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And remember, they were looking for a Messiah in the guise were likened to King David or King Solomon. Why? So that the ancient power of Israel would be restored. So the people that were leading the temple would be the people in power again. That the Romans would be sent away. And they asked him, well, what then? What then are you? Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Well, they said to him, who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. As the prophet Isaiah said. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? They can't figure out who he is because he doesn't fit into their niche of control and understanding. John the Baptist is one who's coming, proclaiming the coming of Christ, coming of the Savior. They are so worried about their positions of power. That's sad. John says, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not Elijah. I'm not the prophet. Well, you ask him, well, how and why do they ask this? Because you know what's happening here? John the Baptist is saying, repent. And he's down by the River Jordan, and he is, you know, it's like I said last night, it's like he is open for business. He is down there at the River Jordan, and he is crying out to people, repent, repent, return to God. The wicked ways that you're going, turn around and come back this way. And it's almost as if they've got, you know, those revival tent meetings. You know, when you've got a great big huge tent down there by the River Jordan and everybody's coming down there. And there's some great people playing wonderful hymns and they're playing trumpets and they're playing trombones and they're playing clarinets and they're playing flutes. And everybody's coming there because they're entertained and they're having a great time. But you know what else has happened? Is John is telling them to repent. He's taking them to the River Jordan and he's baptizing them with water of repentance. He's cleansing their souls. And you know what? They know they need it. And whatever instrument you were playing, I'm sorry. Was it a clarinet? An oboe. I missed one. I'm sorry. And I probably got these instruments wrong too. But thanks. Thanks. But they are so concerned because everybody who hears about what John is doing are coming. They're coming in droves. They're lining up. They have to take numbers. Who's next to be baptized by John? It's almost as if, you know, I said last night, Billy Graham and up there at, Madison Square Garden. Yeah, you were there last night. At Madison Square Garden, where those people are coming down. They're coming down out of the rafters. They're coming down. Why? They're coming up there to that rail, and they're saying, Lord, cleanse me because I'm a sinner. Well, those people are doing the same thing to John the Baptist. They are coming up and saying, cleanse us, for we are sinners. And he's baptizing them in a baptism of repentance. And these people that are threatened in Jerusalem, in the temple, send these guys to find out exactly who John is. And he tells them, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not Elijah. I'm not the prophet. I'm the one who's bearing witness and testifying to the light. One who comes after me, who's not going to just baptize you with a baptism of repentance, but a baptism of the Holy Spirit that's a baptism of forgiveness. You know, the thing is, when we go down and repent and we get clean and we go on into our lives, all right, we've turned around, we're headed in the right direction. But there's so much more power to being, when we come up to that altar rail and we lay all our cares down and we receive communion, and we're forgiven, his body given, his blood shed, what? For our forgiveness. We remember our baptism because the baptism in the name of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit is a baptism of forgiveness. There's one thing to turn from the wicked ways that you were following and go and lead the life as best you can. But there's another piece to being, you know what? Not only am I not doing what I didn't do, what I wasn't supposed to do, what I was doing, the evil, is I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. I have a clean slate. When God the Father, there will be a judgment day. When God the Father looks down at me, as sinful as I am, As sinful as I have been, as sinful as I will be. He doesn't see the sinful man. Because I believe in Christ Jesus, my Savior, who hung on that cross and died and bled for me. His body was given for me. His blood was shed for me. So that when Christ is in me through my baptism and my communion, the judgment seat that I stand before, when God looks down on me, He sees me through the blood of Christ. By His stripes I'm healed. And He sees me as white as snow, because Christ's blood has made me white as snow. That's what Jesus has done for me. Oh, goodness. The Pharisees and Sadducees just don't want to buy into that. And they don't understand. I'm not saying they're bad people. They just don't understand the concept. You know what? The disciples didn't understand the concept either. The people that were following Jesus didn't really understand either until He went to the cross. They put Him in a tomb, and the tomb didn't hold Him. And He shows up in that upper room and says, "Touch. See the holes in my hands, the hole in my side, the holes in my feet." Then they believe. And then they go, and we have Pentecost, and so many other people know and see and believe. But John the Baptist was coming to testify to the light. Because of that sacrifice that Christ made, because of the witness of those early Christians, because of the witness of those disciples, you and I know about Christ Jesus. We know the story, but we're called to find Christ the same way that the early church found Him, through the Holy Spirit, through our baptism, through the sacraments of communion, through that forgiveness of our sins through Christ Jesus working in our lives. You and I are called, because of that transformation, because Christ is in us, to testify to the light. Testify to the light. That light that saves the world. That light that changes lives. That light, this is Christ Jesus, who's come, died, was buried, He arose, and the best part is that He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back for you and for me. That's what John was testifying. He was testifying to the light. There are people out there that aren't going to believe you either. There are people out there that don't believe it. Can't do much for them, but what you can do is for yourself testify to the light. Is Christ Jesus the light of the world to you? Is Christ Jesus the light of the world to you? Then testify to that. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Amen.